Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I am your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got any news for us this fine, fine Memorial Day evening?
Yes, I do. Let's run down the list here. So the New York Times reported yesterday on a series of UFO sightings between 2014 and 2015 in the United States. Although it has been known to the public for years that there were a rash of sightings by the U.S. Navy in that time, new details have emerged. One pilot had a near miss with an unidentified object over at the Atlantic, east of Virginia Beach. The object flew past him, less than 100 yards away, and was described like, quote, a sphere encasing a cube, unquote. This incident was witnessed by multiple pilots and even resulted in an aviation flight safety reporting being filed. Reportedly, the squadron was thereafter convinced that the object was not part of a classified drone program, reasoning that government officials knew that the pilots were training in the area and wouldn't send drones to get in the way. In local news, KRCR reports that Mary Elizabeth Hells and Jesse James Chatteron, with the Spirit Haven Paranormal Investigation Team, have been conducting investigations into ghosts in the North State for a little over half a year. This is news to us, as we've often lamented that Reading is considerably less haunted than we'd like. If you see anything spooky, maybe give them a call. Give us a call, too, for that matter. We're interested. Finally, a 51-year-old Georgia man told the Charlotte Observer last Monday that he'd spotted a 7 or 8 foot tall being on a highway in the Rich Mountain Wilderness area. The being described as basically Bigfoot. It was a Bigfoot sighting. My own wife didn't believe me, I guess, he said, adding that they'd been married for 23 years. He went on to wonder if perhaps recent development in the area might have flushed the cryptid out of hiding. So that's it for this week. No Mothman sightings. Experts say he's, quote, playing hard to get. But that's okay. He will be mine. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Playing hard to get, that frisky little Bigfoot. I like how his wife didn't believe him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they've been married for 23 years and she's just all like, whatever. I've heard this before, you know. That says something to me that...
Well, it said in the article that he'd never believed in Bigfoot before he saw this thing. But, you know, maybe that's just what people say.
Yeah, but I mean, his wife didn't believe him.
Yeah, true.
That means that he has lost her trust prior to now, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, perhaps, or she's just a skeptical person.
I guess. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm a skeptical person, but if my wife came to me and said I saw a 6 or 7 foot tall critter and I'm terrified, I'd be all right, we're out.
I mean, like, just because I trust someone with, like, my child and my wife and stuff doesn't mean I actually think they're of sound mind. Who's of sound mind?
Yeah, I guess that's true. You know, my wife and I have drastically different religious beliefs, and I don't.
There you go.
I don't, you know. I don't prescribe.
I do love that quote, though, because they could have just said, my own wife didn't believe me, but it was like, my own wife didn't believe me,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of, you know, they cut it off just so that it sounded sort of passive-aggressive and grumbly.
Right,
and
exactly.
I just love that.
Yeah, very funny. And then Spirit Haven here in North State, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know we had any paranormal investigators here. I wasn't aware there was particularly anything to investigate. I mean,
so like, is it a group from here or a group that has come here?
It's a group that's come here.
Oh.
Yeah, and they've been here for a while, like here in Reading and surrounding areas.
Well, I wonder why.
I don't know.
Like, I wonder what the draw is.
Like that's what's weird to me. It's like, I didn't... I've... I haven't heard of anything paranormally interesting in the surrounding area, like, ever, so.
Yeah. But I guess the argument could be made that,
there's stuff that you might report to a paranormal investigation team that you wouldn't necessarily report to, say, the tabloids.
Right, you know, a paranormal investigation team might be going around looking at people and people's hauntings and helping people with exorcisms or whatever they do.
It's a more detailed look than I might
get, and maybe not national monuments or something like that. You know, it's like, I don't know.
In any case, it's just interesting that they're here. So
it is interesting.
What's going on? Are we about to experience a Ghostbuster scenario here in Reading?
Totally.
It's a real big Twinkie.
There is no Dana. There's only Zool.
That's precisely what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. All right.
There is no Dana Drive.
So there is no Dana Drive.
It's there Zool is only Drive. Zool Drive.
yeah, we're going to have to track these people down. We should stalk them.
Oh, gosh, you're right. I've never agreed with something so hard in my life.
You know, for years I thought years ago I had this newspaper here in town called the Reading Rag, and I wanted to have a gossip section, but I mean there's no
gossip
celebrities or any gossip. So I thought about just kind of like stalking my own friends and like taking pictures of them, checking the mail and stuff.
Just like from the bushes and
stuff. Yeah, and then putting pictures in and they'd be all, what? You know, it's like, you know, my buddy Eric checking the mail in his slippers or something.
Now don't get me wrong, but that sounds illegal.
Well, that's why I'd be my friends, because if I got caught, I'd be like, hey, what's up?
I mean, I think it's still illegal to do crimes to your friends.
I don't know if that's illegal, if they said it was all right.
Well, okay, if they said it was all right.
Yeah.
But it sounded like you were saying doing it without their knowledge.
Oh, no, they'd say all right afterwards. Yeah, I am saying that.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission kind of situation.
Yeah, it's like Bowfinger. You ever seen that movie Bowfinger?
No.
Jared, you seen Bowfinger? Yeah, Bowfinger's awesome. It's a movie where Steve Martin's trying to make a movie, but the star ends up not being in it, so they stalk him and make the movie with him in it without him knowing.
That's terrifying, but also
awesome.
Hilarious.
Yeah, awesome movie. And it's Steve Martin, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And then Navy sightings, more and more, you know.
Yeah. Again, the whole point of me reporting on that is practically just that it was in the New York freaking Times.
Right.
Like, we're getting the Post and the Times getting in on all this stuff. And they did go on to say that the opinion of the military is not that these are extraterrestrial craft.
I don't know. I think an orb in a cube or a cube in an orb or whatever
that
it was.
That is weird as heck.
I think
it was
going,
a sphere encasing a cube.
A sphere encasing a cube. I got to say, that is either some, like, Hellboy Nazi bell cube.
Right.
Thing, or that is like straight up alien. I don't know.
It's pretty weird, right?
Yeah, that's not.
And like, this is, well, it's funny because we're going to be talking about credible UFO sightings and what makes a credible UFO sighting and all that.
Right.
But this sighting was witnessed by multiple pilots and they filed a report and the New York Times got them on record saying that this happened. So
yeah, it's always shocking to me when it's coming out of credible news sources. It's shocking to me when it's coming out of the military, of course, a credible sighting. And then this one all the more so because the craft is obviously
not
the Russians and their cube spear, you know.
Now, just, I mean, this guy did see it, you know, whizzing past.
I mean,
past
it is some kind of a nesting thing, though, so maybe.
Right, well.
That's my bad Russian joke for the.
I mean, it could still be a terrestrial craft that he just didn't get a good look at. This thing whizzed by him.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
He was doing an exercise, and he wasn't expecting it, so.
Right. All right, well, tonight's guest is William Pullen, and as Kara told us, we are talking about credible UFO sightings, so you don't want to miss out on that. William Pullen, tonight on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Mars. Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Join us Thursday, June 6th for Dine and Donate in Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Now all you have to do is go in and have dinner in Elements on June 6th, and 10% of all food proceeds will go to Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Plus, you'll get $5 in free slot play. Hashtag proud to play your part. June 6th, it's Dine and Donate at Wind River Resort and Casino. A Turtle Bay membership is your ticket for 300 acres of fun. With free admission, discounts, member-only events, and new traveling exhibitions throughout the year. Plus discounts at Sheraton Reading Hotel, Mosaic Restaurant, and more. Your membership gives you year-round access for less than $8 a month for two adults and up to four kids for a full year from date of purchase. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Play, discover, learn. For more information, visit turtlebay.org.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Have you heard the latest? Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies want to overturn Prop 13 so they can raise property taxes. They even want a new tax on our water. That's why we need Kevin Kiley in the state Senate. Kevin Kiley is the only candidate for Senate with a perfect rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Kevin Kiley will fight to stop Newsom's water tax and save Prop 13. Republican Kevin Kiley, the tax fighter for state Senate.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen, our guest, our friend. He's been on before. He'll be on again, and we have him right now. William, are you there with us?
I'm here. How's everything in California?
Not bad, not bad. The weather's getting a little squirrely through here.
Uh-oh. We had, That's nuts.
Yeah, my friend's car was actually dented by the hail. And it's a weird time for this weather to be going on here. And plus, yeah, we had the big burns. Which, you know, the rains are awesome, but they also cause a lot of, like, prairie grass blooms, which are all going to die out in the summer and be potentially flammable. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's apocalyptic.
Like a vicious circle over there, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's apocalyptic. All right. So, William, tonight we're going to be talking about some credible UFO sightings. You know, credible is a word that I think is really important with a lot of these, because I think a lot of these sightings end up getting squashed behind all the ridiculousness.
Sure.
You know, comes in, and then it makes people kind of scoff at the credible ones. You know, before we talk about some of these sightings, you know, what do you really look for when you're looking for a sighting that you say, okay, this has the criteria that makes it credible? What is the criteria?
My own professional standards, multiple witnesses, hopefully, individuals that don't know each other, if they're in different geographical locations, that's a big deal. And if you can combine that with, say, radiation traces or radar visual traces or photographic evidence, although usually most of that doesn't hold up, I guess multiple chains of evidence is a big deal. And then there's a few cases that are out in the books that involve military personnel, specifically pilots, who are the more highly trained in aerial phenomenon than you or I are. So mm-hmm. not that that makes them it doesn't make their witness testimony valid 100% of the time, but they're certainly more educated as to what's up in the air than you and I would be. So it adds a little more credibility to that. And you're right, there are a lot of these credible cases are kind of buried underneath the other fluff, shall we call it? So
yeah. And I'm with you on the military. When the military guys are reporting this, because you know, it's like you can have a job. You can be an absolute nut job and kind of hold it together for 4 to 6 hours, you know, and pay your rent. That's possible.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I was a degenerate kid. I was able to pay my rent. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but these military guys, it's like, you know, this is a 24-hour, you know, you've signed your life away for 4 years and they put you up in a billion-dollar jet because you're credible. That's why they put you there. You know, and
you're a reliable enough individual, you can hold a job that's stressful and demanding
every day.
Right.
Yeah. And so whenever I hear those, it definitely makes me, you know, raise an eyebrow and go, okay, you know, there's definitely something here to be talked about. Now, you know, we got about 8 minutes until the break comes up. So let's cover one of these. You know, what's one that comes to mind that is one of those credible sightings?
Well, the anniversary of it just passed. The April 24th landing case that occurred in Socorro, New Mexico, that involved a law enforcement official who saw UFO, a landed craft with two occupants outside, two occupants that boarded the object quickly upon seeing the officer. His name was Lonnie Zamora. He's passed away since then. The craft took off, and contrary to a lot of other, or actually the vast majority of other UFO cases, the craft ascended into the air and made a good amount of noise, almost like what a chemical rocket would do. And then when it proceeded to start to fly in a horizontal manner, it resumed silent operation, which was an interesting set of circumstances in that case. So for a long time, it was viewed as a single witness case, but as of late, there have been other witnesses that have been found that adds weight to the case. There were landing traces at the site and burn marks on the vegetation, so it was some level of physical interaction with the environment. And interestingly enough, the landing traces, if anyone's been to New Mexico between the months of, say, February and November, the ground, the regolith, is extremely hard because of the lack of precipitation. And it was determined that the landing traces were not dug out. They were pushed into the ground by something heavy. Huh. So it kind of debunked the debunkers. The debunkers felt that those landing traces were dug out, but they weren't. They were pressed into the ground by something of substantial weight that had landed in the area. So, but that comes to mind as a very strong case. Of course, these credible cases, none of them really get you directly to the extraterrestrial, but at least these cases show that something anomalous occurred, something that is there to be investigated. So, but that's the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's one that we can say something happened. So did they, he had said that there were two occupants standing outside. Did he say if they appeared to be human, human size, human shape?
He said he described them in the size of small children.
Interesting.
Beyond that, he didn't really, Zamora did not actually describe them in any kind of specific way, just small children, two of them, and he stated that they seemed to react to him when they saw him visually. They bolted as if they were stunned by seeing him. They were scared or some kind of reaction,
right?
And they moved to the back of the craft, and he felt that they boarded the craft which obviously they did because, or the object, we'll call it an object, because when the object lifted off, they were nowhere to be found. So,
did he describe the object at all, what it looked like?
Yeah, at first he thought it was an overturned vehicle. It was at the bottom of an arroyo, which is basically a glorified, it's a small valley. Once he closed in on the object, he parked his patrol car some distance away. He described it as an oval egg-shaped craft. It had markings on the side, and it had three landing gear on it. Where the occupants boarded was on the far side of the craft, so he didn't see a ladder or a door, but we can assume they got into it somehow. But the descriptions, he actually drew it, or I had someone else draw it, I think the day after the sighting. So, but it didn't have any other specific details about it beyond that. It was a very vague description. And it may have been because the object was very simplistic in appearance. It was round, it was oval, it was white. That was about it. That case is still, interestingly enough, Project Blue Book, Hector Quintanilla, who was the head of Blue Book, actually assigned that case an unidentified label, which the Air Force was loath to do in the mid-60s. So even they could not explain it.
Huh. One thing that always kind of throws me off about the whole alien phenomenon on the whole is that they're shaped like people. You know, that, surely we're all Star Trek fans on some level, you know, yeah. And it's like, is it possible that the universe is just filled with a bunch of people with weird foreheads? You know, it's like, I'm always a little shocked that they're shaped humanoid. I mean, the word means shaped like a human, you know, and it always kind of shocks me a little bit. I don't know. I guess that's.
That's a valid point. That's a valid point. I mean, we, As humans, as Terrans, we have no idea what's out in the universe. We don't.
Right.
And so, could there be humanoid-shaped aliens? Of course. Could there be aliens that are shaped in shapes that are beyond our imagination? I would imagine so. So, but you're right. The occupants that are reported in the UFO literature, They run the gamut from robotic to reptilian to insectoid to humanoid, or should I say more mammalian looking, but they're all humanoid in form. Two arms, two legs, a head, two eyes.
Right.
That sort of deal. That's a thought-provoking question. I don't have the answer, though.
Oh, you and everybody else don't have the answer, except for those ones that seem to think that they do, but I'm fairly confident that they don't.
There's a few of those out there.
This once again, we're dealing with a sighting by a law enforcement person. You know, it's like they don't just pay somebody salary and give anybody a gun. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Kind of.
Kara disagrees. Maybe.
Yeah, a little different back then, I don't think. Yeah.
Maybe back then. Maybe we had higher standards at the time. I don't know. All right. Well, we're coming up on a break here. When we come back, we are going to talk more about credible UFO sightings with our guest, William Pullen. So come on back and don't miss out.
Headline edition, July 8th, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Reading Dance Center presents the full ballet production of Firebird, as well as a featured medley of jazz, tap, and modern pieces titled Let It Move You on Saturday, June 8th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Watch good prevail against evil in this powerful Russian classic. Come for an exciting evening filled with beautiful music, talented dancers, and a wonderful storyline enhanced by professional costumes and sets. The matinee is at 1 and the evening performance is at 7. Tickets can be purchased at readingcivic.com. Bring your family and friends for a delightful encounter with music and dance.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Shining Care is proud to present It Takes a Community to Keep Our Seniors Safe Symposium with keynote speaker Paul Greenwood. Join us June 5th, 8 to 4 p.m. at Wind River Resort and Casino, free to the public with lunch. There'll be speakers, resource exhibits, and a panel of experts to take your questions. Seating is limited. Registration required at shiningcare.org/upcoming events. The free Keep Our Elders Safe Symposium is sponsored by PSA2, Passages, Reading Rancheria, and My Umbrella Marketing.
Mamma Mia is coming to the historic Cascade Theater stage June 14th through the 22nd. A mother, a daughter, three possible dads, and a trip down the aisle you'll never forget. The storytelling magic of ABBA's timeless music propels this enchanting tale of love, laughter, and friendship with explosive dance numbers and songs. Come see Mamma Mia at the Cascade Theater June 14th through the 22nd. Tickets are on sale now. Call 243-8877 or go to cascadetheater.org.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460.
You gotta have fear in your heart.
All right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal. We're talking about credible UFO sightings with our friend and guest, William Pullen. William, let's talk about another case here. What's another credible case, and let's talk about some of the things that make it credible.
Well, we can go with Cash Landrum that occurred just north of Houston, Texas. That was on December 29th, 1980. That involved a young gentleman. He was under 12 years old at the time, and his two young ladies he was with, two adults. They were driving along the road, and they came across, or they sighted a diamond-shaped craft that was emitting heat and radiation. All three individuals suffered radiation burns. In fact, one of the ladies died from radiation poisoning 18 years to the day after the sighting. There were other multiple witnesses, including a retired police officer that sighted in the same geographical area. They did not know each other. And interestingly enough, the object, which was seen flying at a low altitude and was seemed to hover for a while, was described again like diamond-shaped craft. It had flames at the bottom, which is, again, something that's not really common in the UFO literature. And they described 10 to 12 Chinook helicopters escorting the craft. It's a very controversial case to this day because there's a camp that believes it's a UFO, meaning extraterrestrial. There's a camp in the community believing that it's a military piece of hardware, something like that, that the civilians saw that they weren't supposed to. So that's a very credible case, and it's still unexplained. It's been investigated pretty thoroughly, but the government kind of clammed up on trying to explain itself. So that's on the books. That's another very credible case.
It is interesting because, my skeptic side said, well, maybe they didn't see the cables and maybe these helicopters were transporting some sort of nuclear waste or something like that. Do we know if there was any sort of like a lawsuit? I mean, if they got radiation burns and there was a military presence there, did they go after them in any?
Well, there was an attempted lawsuit, but it was thrown out of court. One, the military never admitted that there was any kind of helicopter maneuvers at the time. The lawyer for the plaintiffs were unable to find any documentation, which basically meant that none of the military establishments in the area admitted to any kind of helicopter formations, operations, I should say. So, this is another credible case. You have physical traces on the individual's body, which is interesting. There's a few other cases in the literature that describe things like that. But usually physical traces have to do with the environment. Rarely is it the individual or the witness. But in this case, it was all three. One of the witnesses, she had skin burn marks. Her hair was falling out. She underwent the symptoms of radiation sickness and died of it. Her personal doctor was unable to determine the source, but he labeled it definitively radiation sickness. As to how somebody would get that kind of a dosage just driving along the Texas State Highway, I have no idea. But that's definitely a credible case there.
Yeah, that is wild. To me, that's very much a case of something absolutely did happen. It's just the question is what.
Yeah.
Some of these cases, people make the argument, okay, nothing happened, you're making it up and blah, 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 but here we are looking at something that did happen.
I mean, how many eyewitnesses was it? Like four police officers?
Oh, well, there was the two ladies. They were grown women. They were both above 40. Mm-hmm. Two grown women and their nephew. And then the police officer, which was in another area, was traveling with his wife, so at least five witnesses.
Right.
And they did not know each other, and they were miles from each other.
Five witnesses who don't know each other, like, that's enough to send someone to jail for life.
Yeah, and their descriptions of what they saw were identical. Triangular,
that is crazy.
Plane coming out of the bottom, relatively noiseless. So there was no variation there, which that's another factor that leads a lot of credibility to it. And you're right, these credible cases, they at least get you to the point where you can say, okay, an event occurred, something happened that's out of the ordinary, which is a lot better than most UFO cases. Most cases, you really can't determine if something happened or not, definitively. But these credible cases, you can. It doesn't get you to a definitive answer or explanation, but at least it gets you into the ballpark of saying, okay, an anomalous event happened. We have witnesses. Something occurred. Something physical occurred, definitely in this area, and that's better than nothing, which is terrible to say, but it is. So
Kara and I were talking during the break. You had a couple of good questions.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, we've got this sighting, which definitely sounds like something happened. And we've got the sighting we talked about last segment, and it sounds like definitely something happened there, too. With all of these credible cases, are there any correspondences? You know, if every sighting that has physical evidence involves an oval-shaped craft, you know, that says something, right? But it sounds like maybe that's not the case. Maybe they're all different and weird in their own way.
Well, there has always been an issue in the UFO community. You would think that after all these decades, there would be one common database where all the sightings would be chronologically ordered and cataloged, so they could find similarities. They could find patterns as to what's being reported: radiation traces, lightning traces, descriptions of the craft, descriptions of the occupants.
Right.
So that you could correlate some commonalities between them. That has not happened. It's very troubling because there are a few cases that describe generally the same type of craft, the way it looks visually. But again, there's not really a mass database that you or I or Chauncey could look at and say, okay, I'm going to look this case up. What other cases are very similar? There really isn't anything out there. There's no Wikipedia for UFO cases per se.
Huh.
And that you would think there would be. It seems like a very logical thing to do, but it hasn't been done.
Well, I know you used to be involved with MUFON. I'm under the impression that you aren't now. But I was curious.
No, that is correct.
Is MUFON's database public? Is that something that we could just get access to?
You know, I've heard yes and no to that question. I don't know, definitively. I don't know.
We were talking about it during the break. We were talking about it during the break, and we were joking about, like, well, if it's not, then what's MUFON hiding?
Right. It seems like the hiding information is the exact opposite of MUFON's stated purpose. So.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You would think it would all be public. That way people can wrap their head around or attempt to wrap their head around the UFO issue. Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had an answer to that. I don't know if it's public or not. My friends in the UFO community, some of which are MUFON members, some of which aren't. Some are field investigators, some aren't. I've yet to hear a definitive answer as to, okay, this our database is open to the public or it isn't. I don't know. I get both sides, so I wish I could answer that for you. So, you know, but I would think a civilian organization that's dedicated to investigating UFOs would make their database public.
Yeah, would
on some level.
Would
but
at least
I guess
come up
they,
with a
I guess they are trying.
Something.
They are trying to be keep certain things private. You know, as far as individuals,
sure,
private information, things like that. But you know,
right? Yeah, I didn't really. I forgot about that part. That does make sense. That, locations would have to be.
You know, I guess you could make things public with. You could redact.
Exactly.
Private information, the way Blue Book was done when it was released back in the early 70s. They redacted all the names, so that could be done. But that's a lot of work, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if MUFON would do that. But.
We'll have to steal it. Because, I mean, it would be awesome to have that information. And, you know, I'm sure being good at collecting data does not mean that you're good at reading or filtering it. You know, there are people who are just those people who are capable of interpreting data, and and it would be nice if it were out there in some sort of way where the citizen journalist, you know.
Well, we are talking about a pretty insane number of sightings, right? I mean, like.
Oh, yeah, it is. The number of sightings is voluminous, but we have to keep in mind that the vast majority of sightings are explainable.
Mm-hmm.
We're searching for that small percentage that's unexplainable.
Right.
That is beyond explanation after investigation. That's what we're looking for. And like looking for credible sightings, we have to swim and find our way through all these other cases that are not credible. They're misidentifications, they're weather balloons, they're weather phenomena, they're hoaxes.
Sure.
Just to find something really solid. That's very hard to do, but it's worth the effort.
Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to William Pullen on Radio Wasteland. We're talking credible UFO sightings. Come on back.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Brian Regan.
I think when you hear that term, though, boots on the ground, you assume that means soldiers in those boots. I say we drop a bunch of boots on them.
Friday, June 28th, live at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Plane load after plane load just keep shoving boots out. What is with all these boots on the ground?
Brian Regan.
Hey, here's something I don't think a parent has ever said. The kids are upstairs playing with all their old Happy Meal toys. I don't think a McDonald's Happy Meal toy has ever made it to sundown.
Friday, June 28th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Even if you do get it to work, you never want to do it more than once. So what happens? You push this button, it shoots at 4 inches. Throw it in the trash.
Buy your tickets now for Brian Regan. Visit ReadingCivic.com. And watch Nunchucks and Flamethrowers on Netflix.
And I hope you had a good time. I know I did. Good night.
Don't miss Brian Regan.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Karen. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking credible UFO sightings with William Pullen. William, we've talked two sightings, one in the 1980s, one in... When was the first sighting mentioned?
1964.
All right. So what's the most recent credible sighting that you can think of?
Yeah, I could think the Stephenville, Texas sightings. That was 2008. That was in the Dallas, Texas area near the old Crawford Ranch where the second Bush president had his summer getaway, I guess.
Yeah.
That was another multiple witness case. A few law enforcement officials were there, saw something. They described the craft as being almost a mile across, flying at a low altitude, no sound. Again, a lot of aspects to what was being described that were similar to other cases, similar to some of the things that were seen in Belgium in the 80s, the Phoenix Lights in 97.
I was going to say Phoenix Lights with the mile.
Yeah, that's pretty good place too. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And going to the Phoenix Lights, that's another multiple witness case. There were some videos taken from different points during the, describing the craft's, route across the state of Arizona. Those are the two that stick out of my head that are really credible.
The military tried to explain away the Phoenix light sighting as an exercise of some kind, right?
Yeah, they did. They tried to say, well, some of them, they applied the explanation that they were flares dropped from A-10 Warthogs over the Barry Goldwater gunnery range. So, and that might explain some of them. But when I heard that, my mind immediately thought, okay, how do flares maintain altitude? How do flares maintain distance relative to each other? You can't control flares. And some of the things that were sighted in Phoenix were, they seemed like powered lights. Flares flicker. Flares drop debris as they descend to the ground.
Right.
Powered lights maintain a certain brightness, a constant brightness, and that's what was described. So the flare explanation really didn't hold any water. But
interesting. But that's what the military said happened, right?
Yeah, they tried to label it. You know, they did.
Which is extra disturbing.
Because right, because then it's like, okay, we know this happened, and we know you're lying.
Right,
so
it's
like okay.
I've seen the videos. They are obviously not flares. You know, if I needed to come up with some sort of argument, I was watching some show about them using driverless stuff for getting supplies into an area. So they have, like, a guy driving a truck and then another truck that automatically matches it. You know, so like radio-controlled drones that are matching one pilot doing its thing.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of other explanations I would have gone with. But with them saying it's flares, that's like obviously, that's like saying they might as well have said it was a weather balloon.
Yeah,
it's
swamp
like,
gas.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it smells like swamp gas. Yeah.
I recall that Senator McCain looked into the affair.
Really?
And the Air Force kind of blew them off too, which said a lot. I mean, you're blowing off. You're basically telling a U.S. senator, just go away. They didn't give him a definitive answer either. So, and McCain took a common sense approach. He said that his constituents thought that they couldn't explain and they deserve an answer.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good way to look at it.
Interesting.
So, you know, are there the more credible sightings, it's like we seem to have crafts that are saucers and crafts that are triangles and crafts that are a mile wide and crafts that are small, the space sportster for just two people and shaped like an egg.
Yeah.
You know, is there sort of a consistency, like a certain type of craft is the one that tends to have the most credible sightings?
I would say not.
Hmm.
Because there's enough credible sightings. There's not a lot of them. But there's enough. But there's a diversity of what's being reported.
How many?
Usually the commonality. Right. Usually the commonality is what the object is doing.
Right.
Not making sound, flying slowly, has flight characteristics that are beyond what we can do ourselves. But as far as the configuration of it, there's enough variation there that there's no real pattern.
Interesting.
There to what's being seen.
How many sightings out there would you say are truly credible? Like 20, 100, 1,000?
Oh, gosh.
You know, I know that's a hard question, but like,
you know why that's a hard question? Is because the vast majority of sightings are not reported.
True. Okay, I guess just the ones we know about, right?
I'll give you a percentage. I've always felt that Dr. Hynek, J. Allen Hynek, was right, that at most, maybe 5% of these cases are unexplained.
5%.
Or unidentified.
5% is actually more than I thought.
Yeah, 95% are explainable.
Right.
And mundane in nature. So the percentage of the really interesting, potentially extraterrestrial ones is a very small number.
Yeah.
But still,
you know, there's hundreds of sightings every year. So if just 5% of those are incredible.
Gosh, I think maybe one or two a year, maybe. I'm putting a number out there. I don't know. I'm probably dead wrong, but I think the number is very low.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely with you that it's low, you know.
But think about it. I mean, one or two a year since, like, the 1950s.
So it adds up to a large number.
100.
But even that low number, how many of those are actually extraterrestrial? I think probably a lower number than that. None. We just don't know. But either way, it's a very low conservative number. And that's being cautious, really. I mean, obviously not all these are far out things that are they're beyond our capability. I mean, not all of them are. The vast majority aren't. But a few possibly could be. But, you know, that's a tough question. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. William, we love having you on the show, but we're at the end of it. Can you tell our audience a little bit about where they can find out more about you?
You can find me on Facebook. My UFO interactive group is called You For Real, A Historical Review. And you can find me at my blog called William Pullen, UFO Historian. Both are open to the public, and you can check me out there on Facebook. I'm online a lot, so...
And a lot of great information going out across there. You know, frankly, I've learned more about UFOs from your Facebook group than I really knew before. Most of my knowledge had come from movies prior.
Yes,
you know,
outrageous. So I appreciate that. You know.
Yep. Well, we appreciate having you on. It's always a good time. And you have been listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, William Pullen. Don't forget to check us out next week as well. And always online at radiowasteland.us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.